Only last few words of Chesav Beis. Ahu gavra davka mazmin chumri psach tiaisa. There was a man who was selling buttons. So Rashi gives a couple of possibilities. Chumri basically means buttons. And Rashi says they're made out of tin. You really swing a bunch of them together on one string to make a necklace. So he was selling necklaces like that. But Rashi apparently didn't have the girsa. Rashi didn't have the girsa psach tiaisa in his Gemara, but he said some people do have that girsa psach tiaisa. According to that, means glass beads. Not glass beads, rather, but glass. Like thin glass rings. Anyway, similar idea. A bunch of them are threaded together on one string. Asoya hi itza. So a woman came by. Omer lehavlichad. She says, "Give me one of them." I don't know whether she meant "give me" as in "sell me," or she just meant "give me one for free." Whatever. But after she meant, "I want to buy it." Omer lo. So he says to her, "Yehavina loch mekadoshli." So if I give it to you, will you be nefkadosh to me? Omer lo. She says to him, "Hava miyava." Give the giving, basically. Hava miyava is a double expression. Omer Rav Chama, kol hava miyava lav klumu. Saying hava miyava doesn't count for anything because it amounts to saying, just give it to me. Like the Rambam puts it, like, just give it to me. Don't play games with me about kedushin or whatever. I want to buy it. I'm not interested in marrying you.
Literally,
hava miyava means give. Means the giving, give it, sort of. Hava giving miyava. Hava give it miyava the giving. Give the giving. Like, just give it to me, and let's not play around with it. A similar case. There was a man who was drinking wine in a store, in a bar, or whatever. So a woman came by and said, "Give me one cup." Huber Pashtus, I guess it was. She wanted to give him to give it to her for free. I don't know. So he says, similarly, if I give you this cup, will you be nefkadosh to me? And she says to him, give me the drink. And again, Omer Chama, kol ashkuri ashkuri and lav klumu. Again, saying like that doesn't mean anything as far as kedushin. It means that she doesn't want to accept the kedushin. She just wants the wine but not the kedushin. And a third case, Ahu gavra davka shodi tamra midikla. There was a man who was throwing down dates from a tree, from a palm tree. He climbed up the tree and was collecting dates and throwing them down. Wait. So a woman came by. Omrale shodili tauti. She says, "Throw down two of them to me." Omrallah, so again, two dates. Omrallah, so she's asking him for dates. But he in return asks her for a date. So if I throw down the date to you, will you go on a date with me? Will you be the Scottish to me? Amrala Shadi Mishta. Again, she says, throw the throwing. And again, Amrala Shadi Mishta Lab Pulmu. Now, why indeed do we need three cases? Tosfos said, because we want the Gemara wants to make it very clear that this kind of thing, when you say shodin mishter or hava miyava or whatever, it doesn't work not in connection with things like necklaces or whatnot, not in connection with food and not in connection with drink. There's no case where such a thing works. There is a fascinating explanation that Reb Levick, that Eber's father, has in Teretz Levi Yitzchak, although apparently only half of the explanation has made it down to us, because he starts by asking like six questions on the Lashon of the Gemara over here, and he only ends up answering three of them. But in the course of it, he explained that these three stories over here, what is it? The necklaces represent the sphere of Netzach. The bead necklaces, whatever it was exactly, represents the sphere of Netzach. The wine represents the sphere of Hoid. And by the way, he points out a connection with Purim, which is this coming week, that the Purim is, of course, very much associated with wine. And what name are the Jewish people called by throughout the Megillah? Yehudim, Meloshon Hoid. So there's a certain connection. Yeah. And then the date represent Yisod. That's why he says, that's why she dropped asked for two dates, the previous one. She didn't ask for two necklaces or two cups of wine. Only here is she asking for two dates. Why? He says, because there's two aspects of Yisod. Tzadik Elyon, Tzadik Tachton. Whatever. The point is that in each case, she's asking for the appropriate thing to that sphere. But what happens is each time when he says, "Do you want to be Niskadish to me?" where he goes on to explain, Kedushin is related to the idea of Chochmah. So she answered, Chochmah, we know, he explains because the Kodesh Elyon, Chochma in Kabbalah is called Kodesh Elyon. In a certain sense, and the marriage is higher than, but there's a certain connection between tradition and Chochma. That's why it requires Das, for example. Yeah, but anyway. Whatever it requires that the Loshon Kodesh Milu V'Gamei, whatever, there's an idea that's associated with Chochma. Among the letters of the Eibishter's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we know Yud is associated with Chochma. Hey is Amshacha, Vav is Bina, Vav is Zah, etc. Yud is the only letter of the Eibishter's name where the spelling out of it, the milui of it, does not repeat the same letter. Hey, you can spell hey. Vav, you can spell vav vav. Yud, you can't. Yud is spelled yud vav dalet. So therefore, saying the double expression hava miyava or ashkuya ashkion or whatever amounts to saying api kabbalah that she's saying I don't want to have anything to do with the yud, with the chochma, with the kedushin. I want to just be connected with the hey, the vav, or the hey of the Eibishter's name. Well, in that case, no kedushin.
So we never ask the lady.
Apparently, it doesn't matter. Even as long as once she said one of these lashonos, and it amounts to saying I don't want the tradition. Yeah, but Dvarim Shel Levi and Dvarim. Again, remember, you need the Eidim to be able to certify that there was a tradition over here. Yeah.
They can't certify what she thought.
No, exactly. Dvarim Shel Levi and Dvarim.
When you give kiddushin, she has to have God to accept it. She has to express the acceptance.
Right, so she has to accept. Well, no, she doesn't have to accept. No, she doesn't. Technically, we said the other day that the man says Hareyat Mekudeshesli, she usually doesn't say anything. But in this case, the Lashonis that she's saying are actually undoing what he's trying to accomplish. They're demonstrating that she doesn't want. Maybe she says later, I had in mind. Okay, you had in mind, but you said some of your words
that
show.
Yeah. It has to be a use of words.
Yeah. No, so it's either she says nothing, but if she's going to say something, it can't be something. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Iboilahu, have Ashki Rishadi Mahu. What if she doesn't double the expression? What if she just says, gimme, or gimme the necklace, or gimme the drink, or gimme the date, without repeating it, or throw down the date, without repeating it? What? Yeah, I couldn't find the key. If you have it, then fine. Nothing. So what if she only says a single lashon? Amar Ravina Mekudeshes. Okay, thank you.
It was fine?
Yeah, it was locked, yeah, but whatever, he was able to.
How did you?
Not important.
So she does one.
So that's the question. So Ravina says she's Mekudeshes. Rav Sama Barak, says no. Toga de Malka ain't a Mekudeshes. Literally, Toga de Malka means the crown of the king. So Rashi says it means he's swearing by the king's crown. Either it means he's swearing by the Eibishter's crown, or it means that it means that he's swearing by the human king's crown, whatever it is. And that she's not Mekodesh. Rabbi Hananel actually has a different interesting explanation. Rabbi Hananel says it means never mind necklaces or dates or wine or what have you. Even if you would give her a king's crown and she just said one time, Halva, just give it to me, she wouldn't be Mekodesh.
Nothing to do with the monetary value,
but having to do with what she's accepting, whether she's accepting the kedushin or not. Yeah, toga de malka ain't a mekudeshes. So either he's swearing by the king's crown, or he's saying even if he gives her a king's crown, she won't be mekudeshes. The hilchasa ain't a mekudeshes. The halacha, in fact, is like Rav Sama Barak. So she's not mekudesh. And by the way, once the Gemara is saying the halacha in this, it says the halacha, but a couple of other discussions that we've had the last couple of days. The hilchasa shiroi le'sricha shuma. The halacha is in machlokas of Rabba and Rabbi Yosef that we had before about the case where the guy was mekadesh with a bunch of silk clothes. We had said a machlokas of Rabba and Rabbi Yosef over there whether you need to figure out the value of them before the kedushin will be valid. So the halacha is shiroi le'sricha shuma. You do not need that estimate of their value. Now, Tosfos has a bit of a discussion over here. Why? First of all, Tosfos says, why would we need that anyway? We know in general the halacha is like Rabba against Rabbi Yosef. So Tosfos mentions a few possibilities. First of all, maybe the halacha is not like Rabba throughout Shas, maybe only in Bava Basra, only in some places. Second of all, also, we said Rabbi Yosef had some pretty strong proofs for his position before. So the fact is, we need to nevertheless say the halacha is like him. Another detail is also we had two different understandings of Rabba's opinion anyway, so we have to say that halacha is like his understanding in either case. And finally, though, Tosfos says, when we say the halacha is, like, the Gemara doesn't actually say halacha kerabba, the Gemara says halacha by shiroi, by silk clothes, which implies, therefore, Tosfos says, only by things like silk clothes. People won't misestimate the value of them by too much. Okay, you claim they're 50. They might really be worth 45 or whatever. People are not going to see silk clothes, which are claimed to be valued at 30, and at 50 and think that they're worth only 30, let's say. Whereas, let's say, for example, Tosfos goes on to say, let's say, for example, precious stones, jewels, diamonds, or whatever, it is very easy to make a mistake in a very large amount. Therefore, you don't have smichus das. Therefore, if it were to be a scenario using a precious stone rather than a pile of silk clothes, it wouldn't work, even according to Rabbah. And therefore, Tosfos says this is why a kedushin ring does not contain any diamonds or any precious stone. Because then what if she has in mind the value of the stone, and it might be different than what she thinks it is. Therefore, that's why we use just a plain gold ring. Tosfos, by the way, not Tosfos, the Rambam gives a different explanation of why Dr. silk clothes, the Rambam, well, the way the Rambam understands the Rambam, is women love silk clothes. So therefore, something like that, where she has a desire for it, that itself, okay, we don't know the exact value of it. She's willing to be niskadish on them just because they look nice and there's something that she'll wear all the time. Mashenkin, if it were to be something else, even if it's something like, even if it's like Tosfos says, something where you can know the approximate value of, but it's not something that's so near and dear to a woman's heart, then it wouldn't, the tradition would not work without that.
Diamonds, they love.
But, so according to the Rambam, maybe diamonds would work, but then you have Tosfos' problem that you don't clearly know the value of them. But that, according to the Rambam, also is a reason that some of the Mephoshim give, why you use a ring, because a ring is also women like jewelry. Therefore, you give her a ring, and that way you know the smichus das that she'll accept it regardless of value. One more thing is the Sam Sofer, by the way, says we know why is it that Kala is veiled under the chuppah? So we know there's a lot of different reasons for the Badechin and the veiling. There's reasons up in Kabbalah, up in Chassidus, and there's lots of reasons up in Niglah. The Sam Sofer says one reason is you don't want her to see what you're actually being Mekadesh her with. If she sees it, she may think it's worth one amount, and really it's worth a different amount, and there's no smichus das. Like this, she has basically no choice to accept whatever it is you're putting on her finger at that point, and figure, okay, now, you know, it must be worth a trip, so I'm willing to be niskadish with it.
She doesn't have to see it before the chasana?
She may well see it, but practically speaking, you may well show it to her before the chasana, but in principle, the idea is that not necessarily.
So that she, how can she give consent to that?
Because she's giving consent, basically, whatever you're being mekadesh me with. As long as it's worth a shavah prata, I don't actually care about the value of it.
Well, then you can offer a diamond
then. In principle, if you have a veil, then you could. But
whether it's worth 20 or 50.
Okay, fair enough. But putting all of these various reasons together is why we do a plain gold ring. The Hilchos of Rabbi Elazar, also the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, about the case over there where he said he's actually been mona and he gave her one dinner, that she's mekudesh at that point and he owes her the rest. The Hilchos of Rabbi Rabbi Nachman, and also the halacha is like what Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Nachman, the case where he said, I'm going to give you a mona and then he gave her a mashkin. Now, in those last two cases, in Rabbi Elazar's case, okay, we had a b'risa against him, but still we ended up for entering the b'risa, so it doesn't contradict him. In the case of Rabbi, nobody contradicted him at all. But once the Gemara is saying, what the halacha is, it clarifies, just to hear that's how it is. Next. Turn it up on a b'shtar case. Okay, so now we're finished with Kedusha Kesef for the time being. Now on to Kedusha Shtar. Turn on the shtar case. How does kedusha shtar work? Kosev loyal and yoel and oyal acheres. If a person writes, if one man writes to another man who is the father of the girl who he's going to marry, he writes al and yoel and oyal acheres. He writes on a piece of paper or on a piece of earthenware. Afal pishein beshavat prusa. Even if that piece of paper or earthenware itself is not worth a prusa, and he writes bitchum kudeshesli bitchum uratesli. Your daughter is mekudesh to me, or your daughter is muratesli, or any of the or bitchul is into. I raise mekudesh, and she's mekudesh. She's in Kodesh on the basis of Kedusha Shtar.
When she's in Kodesh,
when he gives the Shtar? When he gives the Shtar, yeah. Gets into a bit of discussion over here. How can you write a Shtar on a piece of earthenware? Doesn't a Shtar have to be written on something that you're not able to falsify? So I can understand that you can write it on parchment or whatever. How can you write it on paper, which can easily be erased, or on earthenware, which can easily be scraped off? Okay, so let's just discuss this a little bit. First of all, this might be according to Rabbi Elazar that Eidim is Seder Kauti, that we learned in over and over in Gittin, that according to him, it's the Eidim is Seder that really make it happen anyway. So it doesn't matter so much if it is falsifiable, as long as the Eidim can testify that they saw a shtar with these words being handed over.
What about if it's baked earthenware?
Fine. Okay, so the base obviously would be good. We're not necessarily talking about that. Okay, then Tosfos also talks about that maybe the difference is that you only need the shtar as a temporary thing. We're not talking, for example, shtar of buying a field, let's say, or shtar of buying some whatever. You need to keep the shtar for a while as proof of ownership. This, you're doing the kiddushin with it, and then at that point you can throw it away. You don't need it anymore. So therefore, again, it doesn't matter whether it's written on something that could be forged or not, as long as at the time it works. Mask for Abzera, Bam Ramel, Holei Domi, Hai Shtar, the Shtar Zvini. How does such a shtar work? Who says that such a shtar works? That's not similar, for example, to a shtar of selling a field. In the case of a sale, the moicher, the seller, is writing, my field is sold to you. Here it's the husband, the one who's acquiring the kala, who's saying that your daughter is mekudesh to me. So it's not the same thing.
The buyer over here.
The lashon should be the shtar, the proper lashon of the shtar on the face of it should have to be that the father should be writing, my daughter is nikna to you. So Rava says, okay, but you have to look at the actual lashon of the pasuk in both cases. When it comes to selling a field, the lashon of the pasuk is that a person sells some of his estate. The Torah says that it's the seller who's the active partner over here, therefore he's the one who writes the shtar in the lashon, I'm selling it. Whereas by marriage it says ki yikach, if he acquires, the baal talarachmona, so it depends on the husband, he has to be the active one. Okay, the question is, fine, when it comes to buying fields, you have the pasuk in Yirmiyah that we quoted at the beginning of the chapter, sodis bakesef yiknu, though in the future the Jewish people will yet be buying fields in Eretz Yisrael with money. So we see it talks about the buying. The answer is koribe yaknu. Fine, but we could douse in the pasuk as if it said, in order not to contradict the pasuk in the Torah, as if it said yaknu. They will cause other people to buy their field. How? By writing out a shtar that I'm selling my field to you. Fine, so what are you telling me, that we're going to change the Nekodos and read it as if it said Yachnu because in order not to contradict the possible Mocher? Fine, in that case, do the same thing by Kiyach Yishisha. You can also change the tense of it. Make it Kiyach if he causes him to acquire. Because after all, you have another pasuk, Biti Nasati Leisha there, whereby Moti Shemra, where the father comes to Basin and says, I gave my daughter to this man. So there on the face of it, we see the father is the one who is the active partner. And the Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, okay, you know what? Never mind the Lamudim from the Sukkim, Hilchasaninu, these details of what the Lashon of each Shtar is, Hilchasaninu, they're all Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, Vashmachin and Abbaran Akroi, so that Abbaran found Sukkim as an Asmachta for them. Okay, Tosfos says that actually, that an Isha Niknis Bishtar is not really Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, that we learn from the Hekesh V'Yatav Aita. What we mean is, there's a halacha about how a shtar mecher, about how a bill of sale is supposed to be written. So the Rabbanan found the pasuk, the pasuk u'mocha mechaz also to hang that on. But really, really, it's a halacha Moshe Mishinai. Because that's what we're saying over here. We're saying that because we don't have an explicit pasuk. Because you're right, you have one pasuk that seems to imply that the seller was the active partner, the other one implying that the buyer was the active partner. It has to be one or the other, Rashi. So therefore,
it can be both,
not necessarily. No, because it has to be either you're writing, I'm selling you my field, or you're writing, your field, I'm buying your field. But only one of them is going to be valid. The Ibai same, or another possibility, okay, but after all, even in that context of Yirmiyah's purchase of the property, the pasuk does also say over there that Yirmiyah says, I took the sefer hamikna, which implies the document that the moicher gave the lekeach. Well, Ekach, I, Yirmiyahu, who am buying the property, took the sefer hamikna from the seller. So we see the seller, Hanamel, wrote it, and I took it from him. So there we see more clearly that it's the seller who says, my field is sold to you. So if you write on a piece of paper or on a piece of resin, even if the piece is not worth a shavu krota, you write bitchum kadeshasli, bitchum rafasli, bitchalila into bein ayudeh abiyah, bein ayudeh atzma, whether you give it through her father, meaning that she's a tanner or a naira, and her father is the one being a kadesher, bein ayudeh atzma, or you give it to her herself, which Rashi says means that her father, again, we're still talking about she's a Tana or a Naira, but she received it with the permission of her father. Also Mekudeshes. Midaitoi, this is as long as you have the father's das, well, who shall I bogra, provided that she's not a Begeris yet? Because once she's a Begeris, she's out of her father's rishus. On the other hand, Tosav law in the Yara Lacheres, Afri Shem B'Shav HaPrata, Harayat Mekudeshes, Harayat Lila Inter, Harayat Mekudeshes, Li Mekudeshes, in all those cases, whether you write, Be'at, not Harivitech, but you write explicitly to her, you are Mekudeshes, you are Lila Inter, you are Mekudeshes, also Mekudeshes, Be'in Aydea, Be'in Aydea Atma, again, whether you give it to her father to take it as a Shliach on her behalf, or whether you give it to her herself with her dad, well, who should bogra, provided that she's a begeres when she's able to receive her own condition or to appoint her father as a shliach to receive the condition for her. There is, by the way, a bit of, well, actually, the next piece of Gemara is going to talk about whether the shtar has to be written the shema. There is actually a bit of discussion among the Rishonim in general when we say, since the whole concept of shtar we learn from the Yotze V'Hoytze, how many of the rules of a get apply to a shtar kedushin. We know some of them don't. We said, for example, that you don't need edim, simon necessarily. You can write it all on a yara and a cheres. You just have to write floshen. You don't have to write the whole loshen by a get. But for example, the next piece of Gemara is going to talk about, do you need to write it with shema or not? And the Rosh Hashanah will also discuss the question, do you need to have the names written on it or not? Do you need to actually write on it the names of the Chosin and Kala, or at least the Kala? Do you need to, both of them. Do you need to write, your daughter Rachel is Mekodesh to me, Reuben, or is it enough to write, Bitcha Mekodeshesli, and that's that. So, Boyer of Shimon Lakish, Shtar Erisin Shikos Vishalai L'Shema Mahu. What happens if you write a Shtar Erisin, not L'Shema? You wrote it intending to be Mekodesh another woman, and then you changed your mind and decided to reuse it. Mahu. Havayasli Yitzias Makshinin, do we make a hekesh between the Havaya, the Kedushin, and the Yitzia, the divorce? Therefore, my Yitzia bring in Lashma, Havaya bring in Lashma. So if Yitzia has to be done Lashma, the get has to be written Lashma, as we went over and over in Gittin, so does the Shtar Havaya, so does the Shtar Kedushin. Or do my Havaya Sladadi Makshinin, or maybe, no, instead, rather we make a hekesh between the different kinds of Havayas themselves, between the different kinds of Kedushin themselves. Mahavoya the Kesef Lebrein Lashma, just like when it comes to Kedusha Kesef, it does not have to be Lashma, in the sense that Rashi says you do not have to have that the coin was minted with her in mind. You take a coin out of your pocket. Havaya means becoming. But the Lashon of the Torah, the Yotzeh V'Hoysa L'Ishacher, that she becomes to another man, meaning that she's Neskadish to another man. So Hoysa, Havaya, is going to be the term that we use throughout Masechta for sometimes for Kedushin, whenever we're talking about the Tekish of Gerushin and Kedushin. So in that case, maybe what the Pasuk is telling us, not don't be Makish this kind of Havaya, Bishtar, to the Yitziah, which is Bishtar, maybe be Makish, maybe make a Hekish between all the different kinds of Havayas, that the same rules apply to all of them. Kedusha Kesef does not have to be Lashma. You don't have to have the coin minted Lashma. Achavaya Dishtar Leber in Lashma. Maybe also the Shtar does not have to be written Lashma to begin with. So what is it? Bas de Boya Hodepashta. So Rish Lakish started by asking the question. After he asked the question, then he figured out the answer. Yes, Havaya Litzia Makshin. And yes, as a matter of fact, we do actually make the Hekish of Havaya Titzia. Drama Krabi, Yatzav Haitzah. Because after all, the whole concept of Kedusha Shtar, we only know from the words of Yatzav Haitzah. So therefore, yes.
How do we connect that to Shtar?
Because we said, just like Yitzia, which is Get is the Shtar, so also Havaya, so also Kedushin can be the Shtar. So yes, if a Shtar of a Get has to be written Lashma, so does the Shtar Erison. So that's also the discussion about whether you have to write in the name. There are Rishonim that discuss it back and forth. One point is, we learned in Gittin that not necessarily, I mean, even the whole writing of the names in a get is only Midrabanan in the first place. Midrabanan, you said you didn't need the names in there as long as it was written Lashma. So therefore, arguably, you don't need the same thing, Marshna Harrison. Or maybe you do. It's fine. The halacha you'd have to look in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, the conclusion of the Gemara over here is that it does have to be written l'shma. Whether the names have to be written in it, that I don't remember what the halacha is asking that. Usually, when there's machlokes rishonim like that, usually both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. So yeah, it's right. Kosvei l'shma v'shaloi midaita. Now, what happens? You write this shtar kedushin l'shma, fine. But shaloi midaita, you did not check with her ahead of time whether she agreed to having the shtar written. So Rashi says we could be talking about either case. We're either talking about she's a gedola, and it's talking about her das, or we're talking about she's a katana or a naira, and we're talking about her father's das. Either way, the point is only after you wrote it did you check with them and they agreed to it. Does that work? Rava v'Ravina amri mekudeshes, Rav Papa v'Ravshlevi amri ena mekudeshes. Machlokes. So Amar Rav Papa, ema taima didhu ve'ema taima didi. Let me explain Rava and Ravina's reason why they say she should be mekudesh, and then I'll explain my reason, mine and Ravshlevi's reason, why I say that she's not mekudesh. Ema taima didhu, they say d'chtiv yotza v'hoysa makish avaya l'yitzia, because they hold. You make the hekesh between Havaya and Yitzia, again, between Kedushin and Gerushin, Ma Yitzia l'shma v'shaloi midaita, just like Yitzia, when it comes to Gerushin, has to be done l'shma, but it does not require her das. She can be divorced by Kocha, as we said. Havaya nam l'shma v'shaloi midaita. So therefore, the Shtar Havaya, the same logic. So that's their logic. That's Rava and Ravina's reason for saying that not. The Ema Taimedigi, then let me tell you my reason. The reason is because on the other hand we can make the hekesh, we can use the same hekesh in a different way. Just like by the yitzia, by the divorce, it requires the das of the one who is being makne. Because what happens in a divorce? Up until now, the husband had a certain kinyan over the wife. Now, when he is divorcing her, he is being makne her back to herself, like the lashon we had in the Mishnah. Kohen es asma v'shtei drachim. You need the das of the one who is being makne.
What do you mean? She doesn't.
The one who is makne at the time of a divorce is the husband is being makne her back to herself. Back to
she
her.
She is makne herself.
No. The get can be done. She's receiving the get. She's not doing it. She's a passive partner.
Okay.
The husband is the one who's saying, up until now, you were mine, you were under my rishulis. Now, harei I'm a teres b'chol adam, therefore I'm being makne you back to yourself. Sort of the same way. I mean, it's not quite the same thing because we said the other day a woman is a bas chora and a slave is not, but it's sort of the same way as we talked about in Gittin. When you free a slave, when you free an Eved Kanani, you're being makne him to himself. He's now kohen himself, and thereby he goes free. Same thing over here. She's being kohen herself by receiving the get.
Makne is the one who makes
the kinyan happen.
The kinyan happen.
Well, that's the husband, who's the active partner when it comes to a get. Ahavaya bein and das makne. So therefore, the Papa argues, same thing when it comes to kedushin. You need the das of the makne. Who is the makne when it comes to kedushin? The woman. She's the one who's willing. The husband gives her the kesef or the shtar or what have you, and she, on that basis, is willing to be makne herself to him. She's the makne. Therefore, in that sense, she's the one who's giving away something. So therefore, you need her das. He's acquiring her, right, but she's the one who's being makna, who's saying that up until now I was in my own rishus, and now I'm going to take myself and move myself into your rishus. That's the makna. Yeah. Mace of the Gemara says, I have a contradiction to Rava's shitta, Rava and Ravina's shitta, that works even Shalabidaita. A Mishnah, rather, actually, in Bava Basra says, "In kos b'shtara erusin v'nisuin ela midas shnein." You can only write a shtar of erusin or nisuin only with the consent of both of them. My wife shtara erusin v'nisuin mamash. On the face of it, we mean an actual shtar of erusin or nisuin. What a shtar nisuin is, there's a bit of discussion, but anyway, that's where maybe lahora means a shtar erusin, exactly the kind of shtar that we're talking about, hareyat mekudeshesli or britchum mekudeshesli or whatever. The answer is, why shtori psikta? No, you could answer that the Mishnah is not talking about the actual shtar that creates the kedushin, but rather the tsnoim. That after the kedushin, that some nowadays we do the tsnoim before the kedushin, but in those times, I guess they would do it afterwards. After the kedushin, they'd sit down and start. Because you have to realize the tsnoim consists of a few parts. The tsnoim that we do nowadays, first of all, there's an agreement that this couple is going to get married. So therefore, that, I mean, nowadays we do the Kiddushin and the Nisuin together, remember? We don't do them a year apart because, like we talked about a week or two ago, because of the problems, what happens, you do Kiddushin, and then the couple gets separated and they're stuck. They get it, and, you know. So the practically speaking, the Tnoim are done before the Kiddushin. But the Tnoim consist of a few parts. There's the part where each side is saying, I pledge that my son or my daughter or I myself or whatever it is will get married to that Pliny will marry Pliny. And second of all, they hash out the actual terms. There's going to be X amount of Natan. There's going to be such and such amount of Nixim Malur. There's going to be whatever. So that kind of thing is called Shtorik Sikta. Apparently, because they're poisik, they decide who's going to be giving what who's going to be giving what towards the wedding expenses and towards setting them up in their new life, etc. So apparently the idea was that So as the Gemara is going to say now, actually they would do it before the Kiddushin. So the only difference is nowadays we do the Tznoyim, and then at some again, we talked about a week or two ago. By us in Lubavitch, we do the Tznoyim right before the wedding. So you have Tznoyim, Kiddushin, Nisuin one after the other. In other Kreisen, what they do is they do the Tznoyim, and it used to be this way in Lubavitch also. They did the Tznoyim months or years in advance, and then at some later date comes the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. So Shtorit Sikla is the Tznoyim. So that we're talking about has to be written Midas name. This is like what Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav, the Amr of Gidol Amr Rav. When the Kala's father says to the Chosin's father, "Kama at the noisim lebitcha," how much are you giving to your son towards the wedding expenses and the Chosin and whatever for the wedding? And he answers, "Kach v'kach," so much and so. Lebitcha, how much? He says to the other, to his opposite number, to his mechotan, how much are you giving for your daughter? Kach v'kach. Omdu b'kitchu, and then they immediately stand up and do the kiddushin. Konu. Then at that point, opinion has been made without even, no further kinyan is necessary. This is the kind of thing, we learned about this in Kfulis, this is the kind of agreement which the kinyan is accomplished by just saying it verbally without actually making a kinyan sudur or any of the usual ways of kinyan.
We're talking about
the tanaim, yeah. So then at that point, later, so at some point later on, so now once this has been done, once these things have been said and the official thing has taken effect, no kinyan is necessary. At some point, a shtar is written to have it in writing. However, such a shtar can only be written with the consent of both of them, because maybe otherwise one side or the other wants to consider it only a milvah peh. They don't want it. They don't want it in writing necessarily. Why is it that it works? Why is it works without opinion? So Rashi brings over here from the Gemara in Ksubas over there, because at this point the Mechotanim are so happy that their children are getting married that they're willing to be meshabed themselves to without a formal kinyan, without a kinyan sudur or any such thing. So therefore, just the amira, just the verbal statement is enough. There is, by the way, Tosfos discusses over here, and the other Rishonim discuss in various other places. Are we talking about when they did the kiddushin immediately after this? The Gemara says here, Omdu v'kitchu, or does it even mean they made this agreement, they made these verbal tenoyim, at some later date, the chosin was mekadesh the kala? Are we saying it's still in effect or not?
Either way.
Well, there are two different possibilities. Tosfos brings both possibilities. He brings from Rashbam that it's only if right away, Omdu v'kitchu. But Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. Maybe actually it would work even if it was later.
How much later?
Okay. Also, by the way, Tosfos mentions that this whole concept only applies when it's the first marriage for each one of them, and for example, when it's the first marriage for the Kala, rather, because then he has a great kiruv das. He's very close now with his son-in-law that he appreciates that his daughter is getting married. Interesting vart. I saw that this is what one besides, you know, we call it tnoyim. Another name for it is a vart. Where did we get the word vort for it? That's why. Hey, not wrong. I'm mixing about mira. The kinyan is accomplished with just a vort, with just a word, without any further kinyan. Practically speaking, they do make a kinyan nowadays, but according to what all Gemara is saying, well, according to the Rashbam, you would, because again, according to the Rashbam, if you're doing the kiddushin at some later date, then no, it doesn't work without a formal kinyan. When tznoyim are done months or years before the marriage, before the wedding, and nowadays the kiddushin and the nisuin are done one right after the other, then yes, you have a long time between the tznoyim and the kiddushin. According to the Rashbam, it wouldn't work. according to Tosfos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it might work.
Today, you do everything almost the same day.
Okay, and by Lubavitch, in Lubavitch we do, and in most other kreizim, they don't.
It does.
Yeah.
How long do they wait?
I don't know. I think Naftali was telling us a week or two ago that maybe they wait like 9 months, or maybe, it depends. I mean, for example, even in Lubavitch, like I say, it used to be longer, but Rabbeinu Shabbat Tanoim were done when he was 4 years old, and he got married at 14. Onward. Ubabia. We said the third kind of kedushin is bia. Menola. Where do we know that kedushin bia work? Amar Abavo, Amar Abiechan, and Amar Krav. He, Amar Krav, Be'ulas Baal, because the pasuk speaks of a woman as Be'ulas Baal, as having had relations with a husband. Malamach, Nasal Baal, Ayde Be'ila. So we see from that that he becomes her Baal, he becomes her husband through Be'ila, through relations. Amar Lerab Zer Lerab Abavo, Amar Lerab Shlokish Lerab Yechanan. So, Rish Lakish after Abo, Rish Lakish after Rabbi Yechanan, you're telling me, so either we're asking Rabbi Abahu, who told it over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, or we're asking. Okay. So, he asks him, Ka'ura Zu Shoshana Rebbe, what Ka'ura literally means like ugly, like what's wrong with what Rebbe taught a different limud, how we learn that Kiddush Shabihila work. The pasuk says of Allah, Ki Yitzach Ishisha Uva Allah, Melamed Shniknis Vibia, which teaches us that she can be acquired with Bia. The answer is, Ima Hasan, Habamina had the Makadish Vahadur Boyo, because if you only had that pasuk, Rabbi Yechanan answers, you would think that maybe first yes, Yitzach Makadish Kachesif, and then if he does Bihila, then at that point you have a full-fledged Kiddushin. Maybe you need both of them, in other words, in order to have a full Kiddushin. Maybe just one of them is not enough.
The pasuk
is ki yikach ish isha uva Allah. He could argue ki yikach ish when he's yikach with kesef uva Allah, and then he does bia, then you have a full kedushin. One without the other is not enough. So mashmalan, therefore, but from the pasuk be'ulas baal, you learn that bi'ilah by itself is good enough. Mefoshim talk about Reb Yochanan as an amora. How does he have the ability to argue against the Rebbe who was a tana? They give a few possibilities. There's a couple of places in Shas where Tosfos brings up the possibility that maybe Rabbi Yechanan is considered, usually we say Rabbi Yechanan is an Amorda, maybe Rabbi Yechanan, for certain purposes, is considered a Tana. Yes. However, most of the Rishonim don't like that. So Rav, we say, is a Tana, for example, Rav Tana or Palik, but Rav was much older than Rabbi Yechanan. It's not logical, necessarily, that Rabbi Yechanan was already almost from the next generation. He was a young boy when Rabbi was Nifter, that he should be considered a Tana. So they give different other possibilities. One of them, one interesting one is, there's a machlokas in a couple of places in Shas, notably in Bava Metzia, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonason. When the Torah lists two things connected with a vav, does it mean both of them together, or does it mean one or the other? So, one possibility, for one example they talk about over there is when the Torah says Makabel Aviv V'Imah, let's say, does it mean he has to curse both his father and his mother in order to be Chayiv Mitzah? No, it means one or the other. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshia argue whether in general we say it means one or the other, unless we have something to tell us for sure that it means both of them, or is it the other way around? Normally we assume it means both of them, unless we have whatever. This could be the same kind of machlokas then. Rebbe would have to use the pasuk of Allah. Rebbe would be using the pasuk of Allah because he says, no problem. Ki yikach ish isha uva Allah. Fine, it doesn't mean both of them. It means one or the other. Rabbi Yochanan might hold like the other opinion that uva Allah would imply you need both. Therefore, he needs another pasuk. Okay, but he's arguing against Rebbe. Fine, but each of them is basing themselves on the opinion of a Tana. So therefore, he's entitled to it. So an Amorda is entitled to base himself on the opinion of a Tana. Yeah.
We don't know who's the Tana.
No, it's Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Yoshi. I don't remember which one is which. Which one holds that it means Oy and which one says it means both. But whatever. Maskefer of Abba Memel. Imke, by that logic, if you're going to tell me that you would have thought that if you only have the Pasuk of Allah, that you require both Kesef and Bia in order to make a full tradition, if you were going to say that, then how would you ever have the possibility of the case when the Torah says a Naira Amayrasa, who's a Besula, if somebody is Mizana with her, then he and she, if she was willing, gets Skila, how would it be possible? If he did Kedushin Kesef, and then Vila, at that point, she's already had relations. She's not a Basula anymore. And the dino, they only apply to a Naira Basula Marasa. And if he only did Kedusha Kesef and not Be'ilah, according to what you have, Amina, you'd be thinking it's not Kedushin. Therefore, it seems from that that there isn't a two-stage Kedushin. Necessarily, it has to be that Kesef by itself is good. Why then do you need the Pasuk Be'ulas Baal when it should be very obvious from the Pasuk Uva'ala that it means you need one or the other, not both of them? Amru Rabbanan Kameda Abaya, so that Rabbanan told over this argument to Abaya. And he said, maybe you could find an answer. Imagine that the others had relations with their Shaloika Dauka. So let's say, again, according to our Hava Amina that was saying that maybe there was a two-stage Kedusha, Kesef and then Bia. Suppose that he did Kedusha Kesef, then he did Bia, but Shaloika Dauka. So she's still a Psula, she still has a Psula. Now, if somebody else at that point is Mavana with her, then fine. She's a Naira, the Sula, because she's still a Sula, and she's married also, because the full Edison has been done. Omulu Abaya, Abaya says to them, and that doesn't work. Ab Kanla, Kligi Rebbe Rabbanon, Ela Ba'acher. Rebbe and the Rabbanon are arguing later, as we're going to quote on the next line. Rebbe and Rabbanon argue about a case if somebody else, if this third party was Mavana with her, or rapes her, or whatever it is, does it Shleika Dauka. Whether they're chayav skila or not. Abafal, Dibrahakal, and Baal, Shalaka Daka, saw Ba'ula. There's no question. Everybody agrees that if the husband himself did it, Shalaka Daka, that she's considered a Ba'ula, because as we learned in Yavamos, and then sporadically since then, Mishka Be'isha, Shnei Mishkabis Be'isha, for almost all purposes in Halacha, Kedaka and Shalaka Daka have equal validity. They have equal power to make her a Ba'ula, or, Maihi, what is this machloekus of Rebbe and Rabbanan that you're talking about? Tanya, we learn in a Braisa in Sanhedrin. Bo'ole Yudan Noshim Ba'dayni B'sula. What happened? You have this Naira Moirasa. 10 people were Mizana with her, Ba'dayni B'sula, and she's still a B'sula. Namely, of course, they all did Shaloika Dauka. Kulan B'skila. All of them still get Skila because she's still a B'sula. Rebbe Omer. Omer Ani. Rebbe says, I say, Harishin B'skila, V'kulan B'chanek. No, only the first one gets Skila, which is a special penalty that happens to a Naira mode also. All the other ones, V'kulan B'chanek, all the rest of them get Chanek, which is a regular Misa for a regular Eshetish. When it comes to an Eshetish, there's three kinds of Misa that can be involved. The normal, the default penalty for Znus with an Eshetish is Chanek. For the boil always, as long as it was Eidim Bahasra, for her, if it was willingly. If she's a Bas Kohen, she gets upgraded from Chenek to Sreifa, and the Gemara learns from Psukim in Sanhedrin that he still stays at Chenek. Then, if... That's the thing. She's like embarrassing her father. She's removing his Kedusha by being a Zaneh, being a Bas Kohen. Therefore, if she started, therefore she gets Sreifa. If she's a Naira, Sula, Moirasa, then both he and she, if she was willing, are upgraded to Skila. So now what we're saying over here, according to the Chachamim, she's still a B'sula after all these 10 guys, because it was all Shaloika Dauka. Therefore, it would all be Skila, for all 10 of them, as well as for her, depending on the circumstances. Rebbe says that no, after the first one, she's not a B'sula anymore. Therefore, the rest of them get the usual penalty, Chenek. So even the Chachamim who hold that she's still considered a Mesula, that's because we're talking about the other guys who were Mizana with her. If her husband himself was Mekadosh or Babia, or according to our hypothesis over here, that he's doing the second stage of Kedushin with Bia, doesn't matter whether it's Kedaka or Shaloi Kedaka. If the husband is boil her, Shaloi Kedaka, she's still considered Ba'ulas Baal, she's still considered a married woman, she's still considered she's still not a B'sula anymore, she's considered a Ba'ula. Not a full Eshetish, we're still talking about Kedushin. Well, she is a full Eshetish, but right, what we mean is that she's not a B'sula anymore. So neither B'sula, nor also the B'sula part is missing. Still, you could have a scenario. You could argue that still there is such a thing as a two-stage condition, Kesef and Bia. Where would you find a case where she's a Naira Ma'irosa and yet she's Basola? Mashkachasla, she's going to Kitchen Shtar. Fine, but you could have a case where the husband was Makadisha with a Shtar. A Kiddush Shtar does not require Bia. Everybody would agree to that. Since a Shtar has the ability to completely remove her from her husband's Rishulis, without Bia. Therefore, it has the ability to be machnitz her, to bring her into her husband's rishus completely without Bia. So again, if not so that, so again, going back to Rabbi Yochanan versus Rebbe, as far as where we learn Kiddush Bia from, if we wanted to use Rebbe's pasuk over Allah, we could argue what the pasuk is saying is if you're doing Kiddush Kesef, that's not a complete Kiddush and you still need Bia. But if you're doing Kiddush Shtar, then it's sufficient by itself without Uva Allah. Yeah, and you don't need Uva Allah. And that would be the case of the night of Sulam Arasa then. Okay, but Rabbi Yochanan Hai Uva Allah Mayor. But like, fine. Okay, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with this pasuk Uva Allah, Rebbe? The answer is, Ha'um by Lezu Nichnes Rabbiya, Vein Alma Yavriya Nichnes Rabbiya. Fine, he uses it for a different limud. That a regular wife is Nichne Thubiya, but an Alma Yavriya is not. An Alma Yavriya is only Kesef, Shtar, whatever, yeah. Why? Why would we need such a limit? Talk about how many takes of a kavachomer from a yavama, because otherwise you might have thought to make a kavachomer from a yavama. Umay yavama shein nichnas bekesef nichnas bia. Madach a yavama who cannot be acquired by the yavama through kesef b'daraisa. Nevertheless, she should be nichnas only bia. Zushin nichnas bekesef. An amar hevriya who can be acquired with money. And in addition, nichnas bia. How much more so that bia should help to make her an amar hevriya. Okay, you would argue back, Mali Yavama can't skook her by medes. Fine, you could argue back, look, Yavama is a special case. There's already a zikta, there's already a connection between her and the Yavama. Yeah, right. Okay, still, Salkadat HaMina, fine, you're right. You can't really learn it from Yavama. And actually, there's also, Mepharshim point out, but the Gemara could have mentioned another detail as well. We said the Gemara used this argument the other day. A Yavama, the whole purpose of Yivum is to have children. Yorkam HaShem Achav HaMes. An Amar Hevriya, that's not the whole purpose of it. So it's more logical that a Yavama should be Nichnes Rabia than to say that an Amar Hevriya should be Nichnes Rabia. So you're right. We can't really learn it from a Yavama. However, Sakudat Chamina, there's a different reason. We would have thought like this. The pasuk goes on to say about an Amar Hevriya, if the master marries another wife, so continue to shave up Susa by Nafala Yigra, you have to be careful not to deprive the pasuk is talking about the scenario where the Amar Hevriya, she started out as an Amar Hevriya, the master or his son was miyayed her, as we talked about, but he was Mekadosh her, using the original money from the sale, he was Mekadosh her as his wife. Now, the pasuk continues, if he marries another wife as well, he has to be careful not to deprive this former Amar Hevriya of her rights as a wife, sheiruk susa v'ainasa, food, clothes, and conjugal rights. So, you would think, maybe the pasuk is making a hekesh between the Amar Hevriya and an acheres, another regular wife. Ma acheres mikni rabia. So just like the acheres, you can do kinyan, you can be kohen her with kedushin with bia only, af Amar Hevriya mikni rabia. You'd think maybe an Amar Hevriya also can be Bia. Kamash Malam, therefore we need the words of Allah, says Rabbi Yochanan, to tell us that not. Over Allah, only she, a regular wife, can be Nichna Bia, but not an Amar Hevriya.
So that's the case that this passage applies to the Amar Hevriya.
No, so
the teachers.
Well, so in other words, we're not darshaning from this possible, this potential hekesh. We're not darshaning that. Say, for Rebbe Hai Svarim and all, fine, where does Rebbe get that Svarim from? Answer is, Imkin, let's say Rachmana Uval. True, but if that's the case, all the Torah has to say is ki yikach ish isha uva'al, and he has relations. My uva'allah, shvamina party. Now you can learn both things from it. You can learn that kedusha bia work in general, and you can learn that kedusha bia only work for a regular wife and not for an amar hevriya. Continues the Gemara. Ula Rava, da'ama. What about according to Rava, who says Barahina Azbrali? That Barahina, the name of an Amora, explained to me based on the following pasuk. The pasuk says Kiyikach Ish Ishu Uva Allah. That Kedushin Hamasurim Lebiya Haba Kedushin. Kedushin Shein Masurim Lebiya Lo Haba Kedushin. Now we're gonna we mentioned this briefly yesterday. We're gonna have a long discussion about it in the middle of the second parak. That you have a scenario. Suppose Rashi gives the scenario over here in briefly. A man goes over to two sisters and says, I'm being Makadosh one of you, without specifying which one. Now, if he had said that to two unrelated women, no problem. In principle, he could marry either one of them. If it's two sisters, though, he's not allowed to marry one while the other one is alive. So if he was actually Makadosh Leah,
he's allowed to marry one sister
while the other one is alive, right. Yeah. We learned that in Yavama, Sachar Yisusha, yeah. We learned that over and over in Yavama, yeah. So if he was really Makadosh Rachel, then he can't potentially also be Mekadosh Leah and have relations with her. Conversely, if he really was Mekadosh Leah, he can't potentially be. This is called Kedushin Shle Nimsiru Leviyah. Abaya and Rava, it's Kedushin that cannot possibly be come to ever accomplishing Via. Abaya and Rava argue over there, it's such a thing, valid Kedushin. Rava holds it's not. This is one of the six cases, by the way, where the halacha is like Abaya. Yaakov Gan, right. So Rava says, Barahina explains to me, on what basis should we say that Kedushin Shle Nimsiru Leviyah are not valid Kedushin? Because the Pasuk says, Ki Yikach Yishishu Uvala. The Pasuk says, if a man marries a woman and has relations with her, implying Kedushin, I'm certain Leviyah have a Kedushin, only if it's Kedushin that are capable of coming to Biyah, is it Kedushin? Kedushin Shein, I'm certain Leviyah have a Kedushin. My Ifa Mamer. So according to him, what are you going to say? We already need the word Uvala.